Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Up until now, most of the topics we have covered are related to markets, investment strategy, macroeconomics, etc. Today, we are going to shift gears a bit and focus on how the pandemic has impacted a certain area. Our guest today is Ben Sorensen, Fort Lauderdale City Commissioner of District 4. Ben is also a minister, leadership trainer, Navy Reserve Lieutenant Commander, amazing dad. Anything I missed there, Ben?
I think you got it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time out of your busy schedule. Also, thank you for your service and everything you do for our local community here in Fort Lauderdale.
It's an honor to be with you. Thank you.
So to start off, would you mind sharing us what a normal day, week, month typically looks like for you pre-coronavirus?
Sure. Pre-coronavirus, a lot of different hats kind of wearing. I guess the hats have stayed the same, but just kind of what they look like, how they play out day to day changes a little bit. So pre-coronavirus, doing a lot of in-person meetings with folks, whether it's my corporate leadership training, executive coaching, interacting with folks face-to-face, or city business, city meetings at City Hall and so forth, doing a lot of events as well, whether we're ribbon cutting at a new business or a chamber event or so forth. So very full days, and that's changed now. That's obviously changed, and we're going much more virtual these days.
We feel your pain. We're in the same boat as well, but a lot of action. You are the District 4 Commissioner. Would you mind sharing with us how your responsibilities and duties are similar from other districts and how they're different?
Sure. So the City of Fort Lauderdale, we have four geographic districts and one mayor that is elected kind of citywide, and each of the geographic commissioners are elected by just their geographic boundaries. So District 4 is the kind of central and southern portion of Fort Lauderdale. So kind of, you can imagine Broward Boulevard, everything south of Broward Boulevard, more or less. So the core chunk of Las Olas, parts of the beach, and then all the way down south to the airport and seaport. So District 4, great, obviously thriving economic engine of our city, much of the downtown. We've got a lot of great communities in District 4, single family, and then kind of the urban core, and a lot of diversity in District 4. So we've got some great diversity when you go kind of out west to different socioeconomic diversity across the district. And then you've got this neat juxtaposition of overlay with some of the county responsibilities. The county's responsible for our airport and seaport, so getting to be able to partner with them regularly is a really fun part of District 4 roles.
What are some major projects the city was working on prior to the onset of the virus?
Infrastructure, infrastructure, infrastructure. So we have about $1 billion with a B, over $1 billion in need in infrastructure, meaning water pipes need to be upgraded and replaced. Sewer lines need to be replaced. A lot of this has been left unupgraded for a long period of time. So as soon as we got elected, we started working on a massive infrastructure upgrade and started off with hundreds of millions of dollars of bond funding. And one of the silver linings of COVID-19 is that as a result of kind of reduced traffic on the roads to some degree, we've been able to even accelerate more of our infrastructure work and replacing sewer lines. Right now, we're replacing a 7.5 mile sewer line that goes kind of from North Fort Lauderdale all the way to South Fort Lauderdale. So those are some of the things we've been really focused on, as well as parks, investing in our parks. The voters of Fort Lauderdale passed a $200 million park bond, which allows us to upgrade parks and purchase new park property. I feel like this is a perfect time to reinvest in our city, and so that's what we've been doing.
Great, yes. As a District 4 resident, I've seen lots of pipes and lots of improvements to local parks, so I see a lot of progress out there. Are there some major projects that you guys were working on beyond 2020 in the years to come?
Yeah, some of the exciting projects are federal courthouse. So our federal courthouse in Fort Lauderdale is right at right on Broward Boulevard. It's a aging building. The federal government and the U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives want that to be replaced. They allocated funding for it, which was the result of a lot of our local leaders working very hard to secure that. So we've been working very closely with GSA. GSA is a government entity that does the site selection for the federal courthouse. So I've been working with neighbors and with GSA on that. And we're very excited to be moving forward with a site possibly south of the New River, still in the downtown, kind of just off Federal Highway. So that's a very exciting project we're looking at. And we're also very excited about the possibility of a joint government campus, which would be a joint campus between shared by Broward County government and Fort Lauderdale government. So we're looking at doing that on top of the bus station just on the north side of Broward Boulevard. So that's another very exciting project where you've really never seen this collaboration between federal government, county government, the city, as we're doing now, and is really exciting to be part of that.
Great, that's very exciting. As a resident here in Fort Lauderdale, it seems like we're growing so fast and a lot of exciting things, and I know you're at the forefront of that, so thank you very much. That gives us a very good idea of what things look like under normal conditions, but as we all know, 2020 has been anything but normal. Would you mind providing some color on how things have shifted initially with the onset with the virus and how they have really evolved over the past couple of months?
Yeah, so initially with the virus, this is something I've grown up in a family. My dad was an epidemiologist, and so I learned a lot just through him around disease prevention and addressing a lot of infectious diseases. Like he did a lot of work on HIV and AIDS. And so when this started, it was something that I really felt we need to be very aggressive around and be very forward leaning against. And I think as a city, we did a very good job with that. But also when you're dealing with the initial response to this, you've got to really rely on the experts. And that's something that I feel like our commission and our city leadership has done a really good job of, you know, starting at the beginning and even now, I'm talking on a weekly basis with epidemiologists, infectious disease doctors, and so forth to make sure that we as a city are doing everything we should be doing. So that helped us lead, I think, in a lot of ways that other cities might not have been, for us to be very proactive. Now we're seeing the cases starting to come down, but it doesn't mean we need to let down our guard. We still need to be very proactive. We need to engage in physical distancing, wearing masks, and so forth. And I think we're heading in a good direction. And what also I'm feeling very comfortable with is the opportunity to start opening up more and more businesses, increasing the amount of capacity you can have at restaurants and so forth. So that's what I'm most next excited about, as well as bringing the boat show to Fort Lauderdale, which we're working on with the county to make that a possibility this year, doing it in a very safe, measured way.
Been a very rapidly developing situation and continues to be such. Something that really stood out to me over the past couple of months is the degree to which things may fall under the city's purview, while others are that of the county or even the state. Can you give us an idea of that type of relationship and how those things kind of feed through the overall government system?
Sure. So the governor empowers basically county executives to be the main decision-making body around policy in response to COVID-19 and in local areas. As a result, our county administrator really is the lead. And so it's led us as a city to really engage even more with the county commission, the county administrator, to make sure that we're sharing best practices. We're sharing what business owners and neighbors in Fort Lauderdale are facing, what we would like to have happen. And so it has to be a very collaborative effort to try to find solutions, guidelines, statutes, ordinances that really work for the most people. And I think we've been able to do that. And we've been, both sides, I think, between the county and city, have been receptive to adaptations, adjustments, improvements as we're going through. And I think one of the important things to realize is, as leaders, oftentimes, especially in the midst of a crisis, your first answer will likely not be your final answer. Are you willing to be flexible and adaptive? And I think that's where we've been working very well with the county.
It's been a very good evolving situation. You guys have done a great job. I know it's been very, very challenging. You've also, I follow you on Twitter, and you've been sharing a lot, different Zoom meetings, informing the public on the different things the city and local government is doing. For those of who haven't had the chance to tune in, what are some of the things the city is doing to help the local community?
Yeah, so number one is education and information. This, to me, I think is one of the most important functions of my role. Is we've got to have the thought experts sharing ideas, answering questions with our neighbors. So on these Zoom meetings, every time I'll have an epidemiologist, a pulmonologist, who can give our neighbors, anyone that wants to be part of these calls, real-time information. What are they seeing in the hospitals? What are the infection rates? What suggestions would they have? So that's number one, I think is so important. The second thing is it's important for us to hear what are the concerns, issues, unanswered questions that we're hearing out in the community, whether it's about COVID-19 or whether it's about changing traffic patterns or whatever might be affected. And so it's important for us, I think, to make ourselves accessible to all of the neighbors and to hear them out. And then address anything beyond COVID-19. Will my trash get picked up today? What's happening with the Fort Lauderdale Police Department and services? Because there's a slight revenue drop in the city, does that impact any of the services? And really it doesn't is the bottom line answer. But helping people understand all of what's going on and the changing and shifting kind of dynamics in our city is something I really pride myself on.
Just to get a little bit more here, what are some of the challenges maybe the Fort Lauderdale may be dealing with or has dealt with that some other cities, that's been a really challenging time for really everyone across the country and really the world, but what are some challenges that Fort Lauderdale has had to deal with that maybe some other cities haven't?
Yeah, so one of the issues we've had to face is a result of us having an international seaport and airport. So how do we deal with these huge economic engines that are tourism, especially here in Fort Lauderdale, while still being protective of our neighbors and the folks living here and being protective of folks that will come and visit? So if you remember back to the beginning of this, we had multiple cruise ships that were wanting to come back to Fort Lauderdale. And so we had to quickly figure out how can we get these cruise ships back to Fort Lauderdale, take care of the patients. Many of these folks were sick with COVID-19 on these cruise ships. And how can we do it in a way that still is protecting our neighbors here in Fort Lauderdale? And so we're able to collaborate again with the county and other agencies to really do that in a safe, effective way and get the people who were sick, getting them into medical facilities to get their needs met while still keeping our neighbors safe. Very proud of what we did in us as a city of being welcoming of those ships and keeping us all safe while we did it. So that's one of the unique challenges I think we faced as a city.
I think it goes without saying that yourself and other local officials really want the best for the local community. Ben, your passion and energy for Fort Lauderdale really shines through. But the presence of COVID has certainly made it difficult. At the end of the day, I'm sure the safety of local residents is a top priority. And you also want as little impact as possible on the local economy. At the same time, you have to impose restrictions because otherwise that's not going to be the case. We're not going to be able to maintain the safety of our local residents and businesses. Can you share with us the challenges that you faced in that area specifically?
Sure. I mean, this is a very difficult balancing act. And my view has been if we can come in strong with significant restrictions and do it right, then I think we can get through those restrictions faster and get back to, you know, some degree of normalcy. And so that's what I've been really encouraging us as a city commission to do and us as a city to kind of as neighbors and friends to do. In other words, can we be very proactive and can we work hard together and identifying, you know, through enforcement when people are not doing what they should be doing. And so we've been very aggressive in our code enforcement as an example. If, you know, restaurants and places of business have not been following the guidelines, we have levied fines and significant consequences for those businesses and restaurants that are not following a protocol. And that's been very few of them. But I think it's helped set the stage for we are serious about this. And the faster we can all play by the same rule book, the more effective we're going to get through this. And I think that's part of the reason why we see the cases now really dropping down.
Yeah, that's great news and great insight. Thank you. With these restrictions and suppressed economic activity, cities across the country are expected to experience some financial pressures this year and beyond that. With Fort Lauderdale being a major tourism hub, and as you mentioned with the ports here, one would expect the pressures here locally to maybe be even more pronounced. Would you mind providing some context on some of those pressures we are facing and if the city's making any changes to help deal with these down the road?
Sure. So we are facing, you know, downward pressure on tourism. If you talk to our hoteliers, you know, reduced capacity. So this is a very difficult environment. So what can we do to help those businesses and improve the kind of what they're facing? So we've been doing multiple things at once, which is when businesses are unclear, unsure, what can they be doing? How fast can they do this? What we do is we connect them with the enforcement arm of the city. And I get on these calls all the time and say, okay, here's what you're allowed to do. Here's, let's help you make sense of the different ordinances from the state, county, city, to help you understand how you can do business today in the most effective way. Then also what we've been doing as a city budgetarily is we've been being very conservative from a financial standpoint. And we started that as soon as we got elected about 3 years ago. We started being basically more conservative around our reserves. And so as a result, while we're facing a degree of decrease in revenue in the city, that has not impacted our ability in terms of providing services. We have not had to lay off city employees or furlough employees because we did the right thing, I think, in good times. And that's allowed us not only to provide services to our neighbors and businesses, but also to move our city forward. Move forward, you know, building projects that have been approved, move forward park purchasing, move forward infrastructure progress and so forth, all of which I think adds to make Fort Lauderdale the city. Once you visit, you never want to leave.
I know this is very much a fight that we are still dealing with. We're very much in the middle of it. Do you see any long-lasting changes here in Fort Lauderdale as a result of the pandemic?
You know, I think there will be some changes. I think the importance of parks, just as one example, I think people more and more are going to be desirous of being outside, naturally socially distancing. I think that's one long-term impact. You're going to see more and more desire for that. I think you're also going to see a continued interest to innovate, to create ways that people can do business remotely and really leveraging technology. And not only from a business to business standpoint, but also from a city to business, a city to public standpoint. So we as a city have had our city commission meetings all online for the past several months. We've increased our capabilities, how residents can interact with the city effectively just through virtual means. That's all really important because as a city and as a state here, we are prone towards hurricanes coming our way. So to have that capability to immediately flip on virtual environment, be able to operate at a high level when not in person, I think is something that increases efficiency and is very helpful should we face another, you know, threat where we can't get together in person.
Great. Yes, this is really, really forced technology upon all of us as we've all had to adapt. And it's no different there at the city level as it is in our end. So Ben, thank you so much for taking the time today to share with us how Fort Lauderdale and local officials have dealt and continued to work through the coronavirus. We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at podcast@provwealth.com or follow us on Twitter @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.